Bruce Stolzer, along with Marcy Schwartz, or interviewing Judge Lawrence Kaplan at his home on this date of March 12, 99, for the NCJW Oral History Project 2. And Judge Kaplan, would you please say a word?
Yes, I'm happy to be part of this project and continue our interview that we've set out upon lo many moons ago.
Yes, right. All right. The last time that we talked, I think you had just come out of the Army and you had a medical problem that was taken care of on a Friday evening.
Yeah.
And I assumed that after that everything went well.
Yeah, after that things were fine. I was very lucky because most brain surgeons lose 80% of their patients, and so I was in that lucky 20%. It was a arteriovascular malformation, mm-hmm. which is obviously curable, and happy to go back to work as a trust officer at the then Western Pennsylvania
right.
National Bank in McKeesport.
Right. And today I'd like to, we have talked a lot about your professional background, and I think today it would be good to talk a little bit about your family. We know you mentioned your wife, but we don't know your children, their names, their ages,
right.
what their education has been, and if you could tell us a little bit about them, that would be
good. Well, we'll talk about them in order of their arrival.
Sure.
Our first child was Thomas Ross Kaplan, mm-hmm. Named Tom after my wife's grandmother, Tilly,
mm-hmm.
Tilly Goldstein. I'm trying to remember what we stuck the Ross in there for, but that may come to mind. That may have been after my grandmother, Rebecca, Tom, and I don't know if we talked about this before, was born while I was in the Army.
Yes.
And he...
what date was he born?
And he was born in the month of May, as were all my children.
Oh.
And my wife, for that matter. So May's a big month around here.
Mm-hmm.
During Mother's Day, we have a lot of festivity going on. But he was born on May the 14th. Of 1957, would that be right? No, 55.
Mm-hmm.
55. He today, at the time of this recording, is 43 years of age and has his 45th birthday coming up in May. My second child was my daughter, Ellen Terry, as we named her, and we named her after my father, Edward,
mm-hmm.
and I guess she picked up Terry also from Tilly,
mm-hmm.
evidently, and she was born basically almost 2 years after Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Good Planned Parenthood. She was born on May Day, May 1st,
oh.
1957, and so she now is 41 years of age, and our third child was John, J-O-N. They say I knocked the H out of him at an early age, so there'd be no confusion, He has as his middle name Natalie's maiden name, Abbott. And we sort of continue the tradition there since I have my mother's middle name, her maiden name.
Melvin.
And John was born in 1962. So 5 years had elapsed. Of course, I had been recovering from that. Brain surgery in between and so forth, so we, I guess, waited a little longer than
mm-hmm.
perhaps we might have otherwise for number three.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was born on in May also, and that was May the 25th. 1962. Mm-hmm. And whereas Tom was born in Virginia while I was in the service, both of the children were born at McGee Hospital, I think before it became McGee Women's. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of interesting that both of them coming from that hospital, that my wife today is part of her children's center, has a operation at runs the children's center at the mm-hmm. Women's Hospital today as under contract with them, with the Carriage House Children's Center.
Mm-hmm. Did they attend these local schools?
Yeah, all of my kids attended the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
We purposely, when we bought our house, when we got out of the service, we were really very concerned about what school district we would be in. Because we did want the kids to go to public school if possible.
Mm-hmm.
So we got into the Linden School District, which we knew to be a good school district, and the kids went there. Mm-hmm. And Tom, at that time, Linden was a K through 8
mm-hmm.
school. And so Tom was able to go, I think it was K through 8, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So he went all the way through the eight years of school at Linden. Ellen similarly did that. When John came along, however, they had built the Ridenstein Middle School, which and Linden was one of the feeder schools into that school. Natalie was very much involved at that time with the plans for Ridenstein. This school was supposed to be an introduction to the open classroom
mm-hmm.
School, where you really had no walls, so to speak.
Set structure.
And the place was built to accommodate that.
Mm-hmm.
A system, and she was sort of active with the planning for it, and to what extent she talked about that in her tape, I'm not mm-hmm. sure. But what happened is it opened up when John was scheduled to go into the eighth grade at Linden. Mm-hmm. And so what they had done at Linden School that very year, the year that Ridenstein mm-hmm. opened, was to reduce the attendance there to so that it was only K through 5. Mm-hmm. So 6, 7, and 8 then went mm-hmm. to the middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And so he attended Ridenstein the first year that it opened and became, as a result of going into eighth grade, the first graduating class as well.
That's distinctive.
In that first year. Mm-hmm. So it was...
Where did they all go to high school?
They all went to Alderdice.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Alderdice High School, and they all graduated from there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both... All three of them were pretty active. They're...
extracurricular.
They weren't so much engaged in athletics. Although Ellen turned out was probably the star athlete of our family. While she was at Linden, she won the so-called presidential award mm-hmm. for all around athletic ability mm-hmm. when she was in. I think you had to do that in 6th or 7th grade, I'm not sure. Right? And, of course, the only thing she really couldn't do was throw a ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember she went out and worked on that. She got other guys to show her how to do that, and she was able to pass the test. And I think the only regret she had about, she wasn't too thrilled with President Nixon, who was the president at that time, that this necessarily bore his signature. But in any event, I guess she was associating too much with her parents and their politics to come up with that feeling on her part. But she did get the award, and while she was at Alderdice, she was on their tennis team, the women's tennis
good.
Team.
Good.
Were
your boys athletically inclined?
Not really. Their involvement in sports was pretty much limited to the Jewish Community Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they did play on teams at the Jewish Community Center. Both of them. John, maybe even less so, he was more interested in show business.
Mm-hmm.
And his involvement was in musical theater. And in fact, the year he graduated from Reisenstein, he was in the lead of his play there. I think they did The Boyfriend, and he was in that. But there were other years, even when he ended up at Alderdice, he would sort of be the guys that would go and be in the Winchester show, because they had all women, you know, and they would be guys to be involved in it.
And he did a lot. He did a lot of that. In fact, eventually John was won a scholarship to go to the Governor's School for the Performing Arts. They held up at Bucknell.
Yes.
And it was like a 5-week residential kind of thing. And he went in the area of musical theater. And at that time, he was in 11th grade then. I think this was between his 11th and 12th grades. And he seriously thought about going into having a career in the theater. The good thing about the Governor's School was he got a chance to associate with all of these other stars, and he found that they were bigger stars than he was, and he came to the conclusion on his own that wasn't going to be for him. And
what area is he in now?
Well, John,
when he graduated, being the third one, we're sort of taking them out of order, but since we're on the subject, John was president of his class at Alderdice,
mm-hmm.
and he graduated in the class of 1984.
Mm-hmm.
As such, he obviously had peer acceptance, and he ultimately started looking figure out what college he would go to, and he ended up going to Penn State, which was his mother's alma mater.
Mm-hmm.
And he went there. He took a course called communications, whatever that is. And when he ultimately graduated, he had to make a career decision as to what he thought he might want to do with the rest of his life. And the decision he got interviewed while he was up at school, and Procter & Gamble interviewed him and
wanted to put him into their training program. So he came back to Pittsburgh and got a job at Procter & Gamble. And they gave him a car, and he was in their, I guess, the powdered soap and detergent division. And his job was really to...
Sales. I see.
Get their products
mm-hmm. on as many supermarket shelves as possible. And he did that. He did it, and really, after 9 months, significant period of gestation, he
realized there was a future, mm-hmm. and that the people did well, and he was paid well.
Mm-hmm.
This just wasn't something that he wanted to do, because he saw his superior and his superior's superior. And they were sort of just doing the same thing that he was doing, just calling on people, and he just wasn't really thrilled with it. Although all of my kids were salespeople, and they ended up in careers that where they were basically involved in selling.
Mm-hmm.
What
does he do now?
So he left that and actually became a got into life insurance,
mm-hmm.
and he had a and was highly thought of with the Northwestern Mutual Life Company, working in Pittsburgh again, living at home, mm-hmm. and he ultimately, while he was good at what he did, he felt very, he just didn't feel right having to impose upon his friends, because that's really what you had to do. You talk to your friends, and so he figured there was. During this whole period of time, he was very much involved in physical fitness.
Mm-hmm.
He had become sort of an aerobics instructor on the side, and
mm-hmm.
was doing that. And then through a friend of his who got moved to Baltimore. transferred to Baltimore with a as part of the HMO movement at that time, I think it was with Help America or something like one of those. And so he thought he'd, since the friend said, come on to Baltimore, maybe you can find something down here that you'd like to do. And he did. He became the program director for what was known as the Downtown Athletic Club in Baltimore, which he said had a real nice Jewish community, and and he really liked it in Baltimore. And he got this job in this field that he really liked, health and fitness, and he was good at it. And they really liked him there. And he was with the club, I guess, for 3 or 4 years in that role. Then got involved with other national companies that set up these health clubs and so forth. In fact, he went to Washington, D.C. for a while with this one company. But ultimately came back to Baltimore and with a friend of his whom he had known from before he went to Washington. Of course, those two cities are very close to each other. He got into the business of producing the audio tapes that are used in all of these lessons that they give, the aerobics, the music, and so forth. And he got involved in that for 2 or 3 years. And so was very much involved in this business. And then moved and was involved with that actually for maybe even a longer period of time. But ultimately, another friend of his had developed a program or had convinced a hospital, one of the hospitals in Baltimore, Harbor General Hospital, that they needed to have some kind of a physical fitness program for their own in-house use for employees, and he became the manager of that.
Wow.
So he did that for them, and through his contacts there, he then moved into his current position, and he's in charge of development now for another hospital, the Good Samaritan Hospital in Baltimore, and that's his job now. So he's doing development. But he always kept up with his physical fitness. He's a personal trainer, so he has clients, a half a dozen or so, that he is sees regularly as a personal trainer and sort of does that.
Is he married?
He is not married. He's still a bachelor.
He's still looking.
I guess.
Okay, how about Tom? What is
now, Tom is the oldest.
Yes.
Tom, when he graduated from Albert Ice in 1973, I believe it was, he went to Boston University. He decided that's where he wanted to go. He also got into communications. And a lot of the reasons why he got into that was really through a lot of the stuff that he did at the Jewish Community Center, or the Axis, we used to call it. And he was involved with a lot of the play productions and so forth, but on the technical end, you know, he'd do the sound, the lighting, and things of that nature. And he was interested in, you know, radio, TV, and he thought through this major that he was taking communications, that he would probably do something in that particular area. He went to school in the summertime as well, so he got out in 3 years. So he graduated in 1976, which was a big year in Boston, the 200th anniversary of the country, and he still wanted to do. He thought he might want to go to law school, but not real excited about that, and he thought it would be maybe a good idea to get his MBA, his master's in business administration. So he came back to Pitt to do that, and he took the accelerated course. They had an 11-month accelerated course that they gave here. So he stayed at home, as did all of my kids when they got out. He
got his degree. In the meantime, he was working on a project he thought he might like to open up a restaurant downtown. And he sort of had a project, which I guess became a project for the MBA as well. Because when he was a senior in high school, part of his involvement, talking about having projects, is he ran for city council.
Yeah.
It was a year in which there were such illustrious people involved as Frank Lucchino, who was going for his first term on council, Michelle Madoff was already on city council, and there was a vacancy, and which ultimately got filled by Frank Lucchino, but he ran in that election, and there were like 37 candidates, Democratic candidates for it. He set up his own campaign. He had his own campaign organization. He had a campaign headquarters in Oakland, and you know, everyone was at large in those days. Mm-hmm. And frankly, if it had been limited to Squirrel Hill, he might have won. Mm-hmm. He might have won because he did in the balloting in Squirrel Hill. There were five openings in council. He came in fifth. Mm-hmm. So,
and he was a
senior in high school, and he ran that year. And he would have been the youngest. Well, actually, he was the youngest candidate ever because when he was running, he was 17.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't become 18 until May the 14th, and the election took place. The primary election was before that.
Did this happen as a result of your encouraging him in that direction?
Not really. He knew that I was a committee man, and I was involved somewhat in Democratic politics as a committee man, and he used to help me out with that.
Good.
And always tried to encourage me. He thought I should run for city council. So instead, he ran. And I guess overall, in the whole city, he came in 16th or 17th out of the 37 candidates. He had 7,000-8,000 votes. It gave him a lot of self-confidence. He had to go out, speak at different places, and he was able to raise money and get literature out. And
what does he do today?
So, when he got his MBA from Pitt, we had a good friend, a former Pittsburgher by the name of Elaine Azam. And Elaine and her family had moved to Florida with her husband. Her husband was the owner of the Maxine Shops in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, his father was.
Mm-hmm.
His father passed on, and he was running that. And they had reached the point where they just went out of business. In their last store, they had stores in East Liberty and out in the mall in the South Hills and South Hills Village. But ultimately, they sort of sold them off or closed them up, and they had their last store down on Wood Street on the site, which is now part of Lazarus' department store. And then her husband Alan, who was a good friend of ours, of course, she decided he would seek his fortunes in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And Elaine had been in the public relations business here, a very creative woman in Pittsburgh, and so she picked up on that when she went down to Florida. And when Tom graduated, she says, "Tom, why don't you come down and go into business with me?"
Mm-hmm.
Having no better offers and having not even looked anywhere else, though, he thought that was a good idea because that sort of tied in with what he had done and with his business background. So he did, and he did a good job. He and Elaine were partners, eventually became partners, and he was with her for 12 years.
Mm.
He got married in the meantime, towards the end of that time, and when he was alone, his needs were a lot different than once he was married and was developing a family, because they had a child 9 months after they got married. So they had, I guess, that's described as a falling out, and he went and formed his own agency at that time.
That was the falling out with the
woman who
owned
the business. Yeah, who was one of our best friends. Yeah. And we're still very good friends with her, and And although it was a little uncomfortable, it's like when friends of yours have a divorce.
Yeah, yeah. You don't know
which one are you going to side with, so to speak.
Did he form the business in Florida?
He did. He formed his own business
in Florida.
Some people, in Fort Lauderdale.
He was already married.
And he was married at that
time. Mm-hmm. And he has one child?
He has two now.
What was the business that he formed in?
A public relations business.
Mm-hmm.
And which bore his name.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually he merged it into a larger advertising agency that was looking for a public relations grant. There is a difference between advertising and public relations. The purists really have nothing to do with each other, but most of these companies have different branches that do different things, and they do advertising, they do public relations, they do other kinds of corporate affairs. And
does he have a staff?
So, let me tell you where he is now.
Yeah.
Because he ultimately, after merging his company into this larger agency, was approached by, and having been there for a few years, and having moved from... Well, by then he was living in Boca Raton. He had lived in Fort Lauderdale originally, outside of Fort Lauderdale, when he first went down there. And there was a financial planning organization using insurance primarily for their purposes. And they used to give seminars and things like that to get people involved, to try to show them how they could save money and the taxes and things of that nature. He got with, he was invited to join this man around 3 years ago, and he did. And that's what he's doing now. And he's doing it big time, and appears to be
in Boca Raton.
In Boca Raton.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sort of well-known because his face is in advertisements that they put out all the time through advertising these seminars.
Mm-hmm.
And so
how old are his children?
And his children are now 7 and 9.
Okay. Boys, girls?
Both girls.
Two girls.
And we, Nally and I, from the very beginning, from the time the first little girl was born, we would go down at the Christmas holidays, and we would spend a week babysitting, so the parents could go on to their first love, which was skiing. They met each other on the slopes at Aspen and got engaged the slopes. Yeah. Tom gave Pam, who was from Cleveland, Jewish family from Cleveland, gave her the ring on the slopes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty romantic.
Yes, yeah.
And they're still there, and we still keep up our tradition. Every evening, the new baby came, we'd go down. And in fact, in May, we just found out we were down visiting with them. We went to Grandparents' Day down at the granddaughter's school in February, which we've been doing. We found out that he was winning a trip to Hawaii from one of the companies that they write insurance for. And so we have to go down and babysit again.
Sure.
Even though the kids are older,
Tell me, what is Ellen? What
now,
area
Ellen,
is she in?
Ellen is, when she was a senior at Chatham College, which is where she went after she graduated from Allardyce, and she got out of Allardyce in 3 years rather than the customary four by doubling up in her senior year in some of her subjects. So it ended up that she and Tom, for a while, they were only 1 year apart, and then Tom got out of college in 3 years, so there's still that 2 year difference.
Mm-hmm.
But Ellen was a biology-psychology major at Chatham.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also a heck of a salesperson, too. She could sell anything, or charm anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And as could John, for that matter, and Tom. They were just real people, so they had a lot of friends, and were able to, they were just good salespeople. So Ellen thought she wanted to do something in the medical field. She didn't feel that her grades were that great that she could go into into medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. Let's see what kind of chutzpah she had. Well, she was her psych. I told you she was a psych major. She picked as her research subject the following: the effect of the menstrual cycle on the desire for sexual relations.
Oh, no.
Effect of
that's interesting.
Menstrual cycle.
And she literally.